Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen. You can email me questions at Bruce@BruceSalen. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. It is time for some political talk with my wonderful, irregular guest lately, unfortunately, Sherilyn Harley Laban. She has a whole resume of wonderful, wonderful things about her, but she's a major player, a major mind, and I miss her. And I just want to get right to speaking with you, Sherilyn. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Bruce.
I hope. Oh, that's good. We're on Skype, so I hear sometimes it's a little bit of a delay. You know, there's so much been going on since we last spoke, but I'd like your thoughts immediately, if we could, on what Democrats just did in the Senate. And then I'd love you to go on a little bit about your thoughts on the evolving disaster that is known as Obamacare.
Sure. So what you're referring to is this latest thing that Senator Reid just passed, and it's called the nuclear option. And it's what many people don't understand is that the House of Representatives and the Senate really are two different bodies that really operate differently. And both of these chambers have two entirely different set of rules. So what exactly is the nuclear option? Under the old rules, it would take 60 votes to break a filibuster, and we all know what filibuster means. But now the change that Harry Reid is pushing, and which Obama has just come out and said, you know, he's in full support of this, the change now allows most filibusters of any nominees to be stopped with only 51 votes. And with 51 votes, that is what we call a simple majority, right? Because there's 100 senators.
Right.
If all you need is 51 instead of the regular 60, it now becomes a simple majority. Let me share with you a little bit of history. You know I'm former senior counsel on Senate Judiciary Committee, and part of my responsibility was judicial nominations, which is the issue at hand. So when I worked on Senate Judiciary Committee, George W. Bush was the president. And the president put forth a number of judicial nominees, and guess what the Dems did? They filibustered. So we complained, we fought, we said this isn't right. These nominees deserve a vote, an up or down vote. But the Democrats would not even prevent, they wouldn't even allow these nominees to come up for a vote. And they were able to do that through these very same rules. Now, we are now 2013, and guess what? The Democrats are in control, and now the Republicans are doing the same thing to them, the same thing, because you know what? Chicken's coming home to roost. So now, this is exactly
right. And
what
the
you're
Republicans
seeing
don't
happen.
Necessarily like all. But the important part of this is the filibuster was built into our government for hundreds of years for a
right.
reason, so that one party couldn't dominate. Now, Obamacare was passed by one party. That's
right.
part of the whole problem
right, right.
here. We're trying. It's no longer a two-party system. That's what they're subverting.
No, let me just add a little bit. Yes.
Please.
It passed, right? It passed when Obamacare. It passed when the Dems were in power, right? So what happened is it passed mm-hmm. in the House, and then because Harry Reid was in power, because they were in power, that's what they used to pass Obamacare, right? But back to nuclear option. This rule change, though, Bruce, you need to know, only applies to executive and judicial nominees. It would not apply to Supreme Court nominees. I think that is very important to know. Now,
well, it's
the
interesting
Democrats,
that they didn't choose to apply it. Why did they not add the Supreme Court? Just so they knew it would be just too extreme?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, Supreme Court nominees, I mean, that's the highest level of judge that you can be. So I think that was pretty prudent of them not to apply to Supreme Court nominees. They knew, they realized that, right? They realized
well,
that.
Well, I still think what they did, I still think what they but they still are, the lower courts have huge impact, and these nominations and these appointments are lifetime. So that's the thing
they
that people
are,
don't understand,
and
the legacy.
Yes, and as someone who, you know, this was my job for several years, It's enormously important. It's very important. The lower court, the circuit court of appeals, you know, we have, you know, many circuits, right? You know, the federal judgeships, these are all important. So, you know, what Harry Reid has done is he's changed a course in history. I mean, this has been done for many years. This is the way the Senate has operated. And with one quick fell swoop, he's changed it. And these are significant, I mean, these are significant ramifications, Bruce. And, you know, I really think voters really need to take note that with the passage of Obamacare, and now we're really finding out how truly bad it is. You know, Nancy Pelosi infamously said, you've got to pass it, we've got to pass it to know what's in it. Well, we are, and guess what?
She still stands by that.
She does that stand
it was,
by that.
It's amazing. I saw her comment on that. She was called out about that thing, and she still was backpedaling. It's astonishing.
Yeah,
let's go to Obamacare.
Right, it's amazing.
And, I mean, this train wreck is...
We have a mess that's been created in the Senate, right, by Harry Reid, and we're going to have an ongoing mess here with Obamacare. And just because the president stands up and says, you know, you're going to keep it for another year, these health insurance companies have now been thrown into a total mess and total chaos because one man said one thing. Well, now you can keep your health care. After thousands of cancellation letters have been sent, now these health insurance companies, who of course have been made to be the bad guys, now have to reconfigure how they now are going to extend health insurance to all these members, which they've just sent letters to them telling them, you know, your current policies are no longer valid. I mean, this is
they have to do it in a matter of weeks. It's impossible.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
It really is impossible, Bruce. I mean, if people understood how truly the private sector works, and we are really talking about people who have very limited experience in the private sector, and this is how we ended up with the problem in the first place. There's people who do not understand how corporations operate and don't understand profits. And here they are running the government.
Exactly. Give me a few other quick bullet points on things that you have been observing over the last few weeks about Obamacare and the White House and the whole reaction from the Dems.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, everyone wants to keep talking about the website. And we must say it's very important that we talk about all the many things that have gone wrong with the website, because they've spent something like $600 million on this website, and it's still not ready for prime time. Secondly, yesterday they had four people testify about the security, if it wasn't yesterday, then it was Tuesday, about all the security problems with this website. And I'll tell you, there's serious ramifications for this, Bruce, because they knew that the security was not as strong as it needed to be when they rolled this out. And you have people putting important private information on an unsecured website, which is just open field day for all of the hackers. And, you know, this really hasn't been addressed by the administration.
Wait, 1 second. The other thing I love is we've also learned, I believe this week, that 40% of the site wasn't even built and that they're unable to process payments. So these so-called 100,000 or so people that have signed up, not a single one has made a payment. So really, not a single person, and zero in Oregon, not one person has been able to sign up in Oregon. This is a epic fail.
Epic. Colossal failure, which, you know, again, it seems like most of the Democrats are continuing to drink this Kool-Aid, and nobody is really addressing this ultimate problem. You guys have had 3 years for this, right? 3 years to build up to this. And yet we still have on the rollout an incomplete and colossal failure. And sadly, the President of the United States stands up there, and he's not really taking accountability for this. He always has to find a way to blame the Republicans. In fact, I was on a television show on Monday, and these other two gentlemen who are on with me were Democrats, said, well, you know, this is really the Republicans' fault. They've been obstructionist the whole way. I said, listen, you know, let's, you know, let's not insult one another. I said, this is just isn't helpful. I said, because you passed, overwhelmingly this bill passed with Democratic support and with zero Republican support in the House of Representatives. We have not obstructed because we weren't in power. You passed it. We didn't have anything to do with that. And now this is Obama's administration.
Not a single vote from Republicans.
This is squarely within, this has got nothing to do with Republicans now because we're not in power in the government. HHS is controlled by the Obama administration. This is squarely within their domain. It really has nothing to do with us now. It is at the administration level. It is for HHS and the Medicaid and Medicaid operations to be running it. And look what happens. We've got, this is a colossal failure. And someone needs to be offering solutions and next steps. And that's what we're not hearing, Bruce. That is,
well,
we are not
hopefully
hearing
hopefully as this continues to fall apart into the next year, the Republicans will put forward a good plan and hopefully start the process of winning back the Senate and maintaining the majority in the two house, in the House and the Senate, and then, of course, ultimately repealing this dreadful law.
I hope so. I mean, in order, as you know, Bruce, because we've talked about this, in order to repeal it, I mean, this is a very long road. So, you know, I'm not a defeatist, but I'm a realist, and we need to be prepared to live with this in the short term until we have, you know, a new system and a new alternative. Because, as you know, once you pass a bill, it is very, very hard to repeal it because we are, you know, the train left that station a couple of years ago. So we have got to find some way of either improving upon the current legislation or finding some other way of dealing with it, because I think really for the short term, Bruce, it's here to stay. It's here to stay.
Well, I understand that it's very hard to repeal, but the patchwork of fixes will I don't think, I think it'll collapse. I just believe this thing is going to collapse on itself.
But the problem is, Bruce, we're already hearing the Democrats continue to talk about single-payer system. So I agree, it most likely will collapse, but what are we going to get as a result? Right? Because ultimately, what the Democrats want is a single-payer system.
Right.
And we may get there. That's the whole problem. That was their ultimate goal.
Yeah. The number of lies are just astonishing. And
really?
At least some in the mainstream media have talked about it. Even the cover of Time magazine it says Broken Promise on the cover this week. Or next week. I saw the cover and I went, wow, this is pretty incredible for Time magazine, which is a PR adjunct to the president to actually criticize him. Whoa, that's encouraging.
Right. So there are some, I would agree with you, there are some in the mainstream media who are calling the attention of the colossal failure. But I feel for the most part, they continue to give Obama and the administration a pass. They continue to do it. They continue to do it because, I tell you, if this was the Bush administration, there's just no way this would be going on.
And now Oprah goes out and talks about how Obama is mistreated because he's African-American. And I've heard a number of other commentators talk about how Obama's getting more poorly treated than any president ever, including Bush. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do they actually believe any of what they say? Does Oprah...
Right.
Really believe that? Is she such a brilliant woman? Is she that naive about politics?
Yeah, I think so. Or they're just, again, they're just all in denial. They're just all
Yeah,
in denial.
I think these are too many smart people that are in this sort of denial. Listen, we're out of time. Quickly tell my listeners where they can find you, Sherilyn.
Yes, they can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Laban, L-E-B as in boy, O-N. Find me on Twitter. Follow me. I always follow back.
Terrific. And have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope I'll be able to speak with you soon. I have to catch up with you on some other things. But in the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And listeners, stay tuned. Went to UCLA, got his We'll be back after these breaks. His first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice President of ABC.